And now this is our special service, and I go to a pastor's, it's not really a meeting, it's more of a fellowship on the fourth Thursday of every month, and it's pastors just from all over the Victorville, Apple Valley, Hesperia area, and it's at a different place every month. And what we do there, nobody's there with an agenda or to promote anything or to preach or anything like that at all. It's just prayer and singing and fellowship, just a bunch of pastors and some other people involved in ministry are there as well. And through that, I became acquainted with Robert, and the Lord, in fact, one time I think I was at your home, or is at your dad's home, or your home, or yeah, in Apple Valley, way out in Apple Valley, But we went there, and he actually hosted it at the home there. And I've met him at several of the other meetings. And I don't know, the Lord just laid on my heart, it'd be nice to perhaps have something here. And I talked to him about it, and he said he'd be glad to do that. And it's really, you know, because we preach a lot out of the New Testament. And the Old Testament, and sometimes you read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and these things, and it just seems like, oh, it's just rituals and ceremonies and all these things, and they're important, but we don't, I think, really grasp the full meaning behind a lot of those things. You know, it's been lost in culture, and you know, we focus on Jesus, and rightfully so, but all these things were pointing to Jesus. And God instituted him, am I right, so that the Jews would basically recognize him when he came? I mean, that was basically it. And so I just thought, you know, to have him be able to do that would be just a blessing. And so with that, Robert, and this is his daughter, Bethany.
Yes.
He's coming to assist him as well. And then, of course, two of our faithful members here are going to help us out as well. So, Robert, as you see fit.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Well, it's great to come way out to Phelan. I would even say way, way out. But it is actually a great honor to be here. Pastor Mike, thank you for the opportunity. And so, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you are present in our midst, and that everything through your word that we're going to experience and read, we're going to just thank you that you're going to enlighten us. As it says in the Psalm, open our eyes that we would see the wonderful things from your Bible, from the scriptures. So we thank you for doing this for everyone here this morning. Bless this community of faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. I just want to help with a few terms. Can everyone say shalom?
Shalom.
How many of you ever heard of that before? Shalom. That just means peace, right? But it also could mean shalom, like hello, shalom, goodbye. And so every Sabbath at our congregation, we say Shabbat shalom, which is Sabbath peace. So you could even say that to each other, Shabbat shalom. There you go. Now we're getting there. So I know that my daughter's going to time me, because I could tend to be a little bit wordy, long-winded. I think that all pastors or rabbis could have that tendency, but not your pastor. So she's going to be my timer. If something's thrown at me, it's all in respect. You know, if Pastor Mike really wanted me to just sum it up, and we could be done with this whole service within less than 30 seconds. You know, the summary of every Jewish festival goes like this. They try to kill us. We won. Let's eat. I don't know if you ever heard that before. But if you read through the scriptures, you see that, you know, there's always been an enemy of Israel. Even today, there's enemies that are trying to rid us from the face of the earth. But God's a covenantal keeping God. And he has worked for Israel, the Jewish people, and for the church. And together, we're working together. So that's a blessing. So I'm going to hopefully, I could walk around because I have this. So this is called the Haggadah. Can you? I'm just going to have you repeat this. We're going to learn a little Hebrew today. Haggadah. Okay. So this is actually what most, and this is a very small Haggadah, because literally there are some Passover Seders, which you could see some of the elements here that really take us throughout the evening. Some of them, especially in Orthodox Judaism, how many of you heard of Orthodox? They last hours and hours. And we have a Messianic Jewish Haggadah because we know that, as your pastor said, everything that was spoken of in the Old Covenant, especially in terms of the Passover, was always pointing to Jesus, Yeshua. And by the way, Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus. So say Yeshua. Yeshua. How many of you heard that before? Yeshua. Okay. So if I say Yeshua, you know that I'm saying Jesus. Okay. So Haggadah means the telling. And obviously the telling here is this telling of the story. And the story to us as a Jewish people is so important, because we know that he has released us out of bondage when he took us out of Egypt. How many remember the story? We all know the story, I believe. So what's important through the Haggadah, which is this story, is that we go first through Israel's original Seder. And part of that is experiencing tears, experiencing sweetness, experiencing all kinds of things. And everything here on this table is representative of that. And then we lead up to what's called the Messiah's Seder. How many remember when Jesus gathered his disciples? If you remember his words, he said to them, I have looked forward so much to having this Seder with you, which is actually the Passover meal. And remember, he sent his disciples and they came and they set it all up. And so there's the first Seder of the leaving Egypt, then there's the Messiah Seder, the one that Jesus gathered his disciples, and then there's this Seder, which is the one that we're conducting today, and all of them come together really beautifully. So real quickly, Bethany, if you could help me, she's going to be my Vanna White, is that okay? For those under the age of, I don't know, maybe 12, they don't get that, right? Vanna who? Is that an app for my iPhone? Okay. So, there are things on the table. If you could just lift up the plate, honey, that would be great. Start with the matzah thing. Okay, if you look at this, this is every Jewish family, and by the way, we're Jews that obviously believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord. But there are many Jewish people that do not believe that he is. And Paul speaks in Romans that there's that partial blindness, and part of that removal of that blindness is that as more Jews are coming to faith in Jesus, that we're able to share that message. So anyhow, we have the we start off with these three matzahs. As you could see, this is generally what is done on every Passover. You have three matzahs here. How many of you had matzah before? Okay, it's really not the best bread in the world, okay? And then we have the candles here, and then Bethany could lift up the Seder plate. That's called the Seder plate. And so you have the three matzah that she just picked up, and then we have what's called maror. That's the one in the middle. That's the bitter herbs. That's what makes you cry. That's what your pastor's really looking forward to eating here shortly. You have to eat enough to cry. So you could really make sure he sticks to that.
I'm crying already.
And then there's a second bitter herb, supposedly, which is lettuce, which is part of the tradition. There's carpus, which is the parsley. I remember when they put the blood on the doorposts. And then there's the charoset, everyone's favorite, which is like a mixture of nuts, chopped apples, and grape juice, delicious stuff. And we don't have one thing on this plate, which is called the dzrora, which is actually the shank bone, because they're not really in season right now. You know, we usually go to the butcher and we get these bones, and that's part of the story. That's actually symbolizing the Passover lamb, right? And by the way, who is the Passover lamb?
Jesus.
Jesus, Yeshua, that's right. And so those are the things. We also have salt water. Okay, take a guess what that would symbolize. The the tears of being in slavery all those years. We have some grape juice, or pretty close to it. We know that it comes from the tree of some sort, but it's vines, right? And then well, there's always a cup always prepared for, how many of you heard of the prophet Elijah, right? So at the end of every Passover table, there's a cup of Elijah. So we kind of put that cup at the end to symbolize that. Okay, is that fair enough? Okay, I'm going to just do my best to work through this. Thank you, Bethany. Generally, every Passover, we begin with lighting candles, especially even on Friday nights, which as the Jewish people we have celebrated for so long. We always enter into the Sabbath with lighting and distinguishing that now is a time for us as a Jewish people to enter into rest. And I don't know about you, but probably sometimes coming into a Sunday service, do you ever feel like you have your mind racing with all kinds of things and you want to rest in the Lord? And that's one of the things that helps us distinguish that rest as a Jewish people. We're lighting the candles. The family gets together around the table, not this table, but we call it the Sabbath table. And there's different things present at that table. But the same thing happens on holy days, we call them. And this is why we would have candles. So that's just that explanation there. And then we would come to say a prayer, which is one of my favorite prayers. It's called the Shechechianu. And it says this. It says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life and sustenance and has allowed us to reach this season." So there's almost a sense that every time we come to Passover or other Jewish festivals, we're always thanking God that he's given us the opportunity to make it again, okay? And I think that's really special. I know for me, because we never know what's guaranteed in our lives, do we? And just to know that as a people, God is still keeping us in existence for his purposes. We're always thanking God for life. There's always people trying to take our life. But remember, the greatest Jew who ever lived in the world gave his life. And he gave his life for all people. And I think that's something that really resonates with all of us as either Jews or Gentiles. So we start with the candles. We start with those prayers. And then we begin with these cups. And now Pastor Mike has one cup here. And so if you want to fill it just a little bit, I just want to have them go through this, especially the horseradish part. But we're going to start easy. There's a love bond here. So there's four cups. You could just fill it just a tad bit. This is the cup that's called a cup of sanctification. Because it's called that because the Jews were brought out of Egypt. How many of you know that whether you're Jewish or not, when you gave your life to Christ, you came out of an Egypt. You came out of bondage, and Jesus saved you from all of that stuff. In a very real sense, when we think of the children of Israel, they were rescued by the same God from, guess what, all that bondage, and they were released. But spiritually, so are we. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind. So go ahead and lift that glass, Pastor. And we usually say this this prayer. You probably heard it, and I'm going to sing it. We say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. And everyone usually goes, Amen. So you could do that part. Amen. And that means, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from out of the vine. You could have a little sip. Is that okay?
Yes, okay.
All right. So that's how most seders begin. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor, if you could read Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 18. How am I doing? Okay.
You're doing great.
Okay. There's nothing like a long-winded fella, you know, going off too much.
Haven't used the mic.
Oh, use the mic, Pastor. So Luke chapter 22, 14 through 18. Again, starting with the cup of sanctification.
When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
And everyone could say amen, right? So what does that mean? That means that the final and fullest meaning of this understanding of Passover will be actually revealed when Jesus returns. Are we all waiting for that time? Amen. Amen. So we always say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. So there's that connection. And then we go to what's called the Urchats, which is the washing of the hands. How many remember in the temple there was a basin? And the basin was a place where the high priest would actually wash because they wanted to be ceremonially clean before they would enter into the service that they were called to be. And I always teach my children, especially, the parallel to that is who could enter into the house of the Lord? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. How many of you heard that scripture before? So there's a sense of purity that we're always reminded of throughout the scriptures. So that's really symbolic. We wash the hands because we reenact that cleansing ceremony when the temple was standing. And it also prepares us for the next phase. But before we do that, I don't know if you want to... you're going to read a lot today? Is that okay?
It's okay.
Or whoever you want, John chapter 13, verse 5.
Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him.
And then go to 12 through 14.
When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done for you."
So as a Messianic Jew, I see such a beautiful parallel between the washing of the hands and what Jesus did prior to his, you know, the crucifixion, which he washed the feet of his disciples. Isn't that beautiful? That's one of my favorite passages. Either way, Jesus was preparing his disciples for the continuance of his work. And ceremonially, when we do this, we wash our hands, we're actually doing it as we continue the story. So we'll go now to what's next in the Haggadah, which is the Seder, which is the parsley. So Bethany, if you want to help everyone pass out a little parsley. This is celebrated, obviously Passover celebrated very close to Easter. How many of you know this? Sometimes they're like on the same weekend. They weren't this year, though, by the way, if you were following the calendar. But it's celebrated in the springtime because the earth becomes green. It's blossoming. There's a sense of new life. And what we do now is we take the parsley and dip it into the salt water because for the children of Israel, life in Egypt was filled with despair. So the salt water represents like the tears and the anguish suffered. And so what we do is we take that and we dip it and then we eat it. And we usually say a prayer, and I'll just do it in English. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth." And then what we do is we eat the carpus. Okay. Can we give them a hand? They're doing fantastic. Okay. This is one of the most interesting and most puzzling things to Jewish people that do not actually believe, and I always say yet, that Jesus is the Messiah. This has been done for so many years, but Bethany, if you would take the middle matzah. Remember, how many do we have in that? We have three. Now listen, give me the middle matzah, honey. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you think about this, and the rabbis have all different kinds of explanations, but I always look, if you ever look at the matzah, we could see that there's piercings. And then there's also symbolic of stripes. So there's something so significant of this that I don't even, it was never intentional, but I think it so signifies the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. In this case, this is matzah. So in all the households around the world, Jewish, we take this, and I'm going to give it to you, Bethany. We take it and we actually break it right in the middle. Isn't that amazing? I don't know, how many of you know that Jesus was broken for us? And then what we do is we take the one piece, Bethany, we'll put that back. And Pastor, if you could open that up. Just open that up all the way. And this is stuff that a lot of Jewish people do. And this one is actually wrapped up. Isn't that amazing? Not only is it wrapped up, but as a rabbi, I get to hide it. And later on, after the supper, the children get to go find it. And if they find it, whoever gets it, they get a prize. But does that sound familiar? Yeah. That, you know, there's something that was broken. And then here's like a symbolic of a shroud. And I'll get back to that later. So that's done. And that's breaking the middle matzah. It reminds me that he came, he was broken, and that he's going to return. Amen? Yeah. And so I don't want to get into why. There's a lot of different reasons why rabbis would say, oh, this is what it represents. But I can't imagine what it would mean other than the fact that, especially as Jesus fulfills this Passover time, that he was broken for us, right? But sometimes the rabbis say that this means it's symbolic. The three matzahs are symbolic of past, present, and future. You know, that sounds kind of clever. Not too convincing to me. Body, soul, and spirit. Some even say Mo, Larry, and Curly, but I don't think that that's really good. We won't go there. But, how many of you see the actual symbolism of something so great? Once we do that, we start to go into what's called the Magid, which is the Passover story. And I'm not going to really take you through it because you guys have your Bibles. But Pastor, page 8. That little part here would be great if you want to read it or one of your elders. Just that little part.
This is the bread of affliction, which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. All who are hungry, let them come and eat. All who are needy, let them come and celebrate the Passover with us. Now we are here. Next year may be in the land of Israel. Now we are slaves. Next year we may be free men.
All right. How many of you know in Christ we're free?
Amen.
That's wonderful. And but in this ceremony part, we're always remembering where we came from. How many of you know when you forget your origins, sometimes you forget history? And as a people, as a peoplehood, we don't want to forget the origins of where God brought us from and where he's taking us. And I think that goes for all families as well. After that, and I'm going to try to get through this because my daughter has me. My wife wanted to be here, by the way, and she sends her greetings. There's something called the Manishtana, which is called the four questions. So the youngest boy or girl usually would be sitting at the table, and they get to ask four questions. So I'm going to ask my daughter to read those four questions. Okay, so I don't know if she needs a mic or. So. You could stand up to the pulpit. And usually this is sung, which really, my daughter was fine with that. But my two boys sweat so much. They just like, Dad, I can't sing. But they did really well. So she could just do it in English today, if that's okay with you.
Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat either leavened bread or unleavened matzah. On this night, why do we only eat matzah? On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. On this night, why do we only eat bitter herbs? On all other nights, we do not dip our vegetables even once. On this night, why do we dip them twice? On all other nights, we eat our meals sitting or reclining. On this night, why do we eat only reclining?
Okay, thank you very much. She did a great job. Okay. So, how many remember when Pastor Mike just read that Jesus was reclining? Did you get that part? So that's one of the things. Why, you know, the kids, how many of you have children? Or, you know, whether they're young or old or mid-aged, do they always ask why? Why? Well, the why is one of the greatest questions that we've always had as a Jewish people. Why, Lord? Why? You know, children of Israel, right? Always wondering what God's doing. So it's our responsibility, usually, to answer the questions of the children. Why we recline? And it's because once we were slaves, but now we're free. Because back in that time, you know, you couldn't recline unless you were a freeman. But that's one of the things. So if you would read Matthew chapter 26, 19 through 20.
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12.
Okay, and so I just put that there because the children or the child of that evening says, why are we, you know, on this night, why do we only do this reclining? And we see that even Jesus himself was part of this ceremony. He understood this. This was part of the peoplehood, God bless you, of the Jewish people. And so we go on to the story, which is that, you know, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and God brought us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Amen?
Amen.
And so did he as well for all of us who were lost, but now we're found. And I'm going to read just a little part here. And Pastor, if you want to go to page 10, and maybe just that one first paragraph. That's correct. This is where things get really long during the Seder, and the kids get a little bit very, you know, exasperated. So I won't do it to you, but it's good just to get a little bit of an idea that we begin the story as this way.
Okay, long ago, our ancestors worshipped idols. Now, the Eternal is our God. He alone do we worship. This is even as Scripture confirms. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Eternal, the God of Israel, your forefathers lived beyond the river, that is, Terah, the father of Abraham, Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and I led him throughout the whole land of Canaan. I increased his family by giving him a son, Isaac, and I gave Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave Mount Seir as a possession, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt.
Thank you so much. So they went down to Egypt, and this promise made to our forefathers stands true also for us. And what happened when they went down to Egypt, they were few in number. How many of you remember the story? Okay. And then they became kind of a great nation, great and mighty. They became numerous. But the Egyptians started to treat them very harshly, and they made them suffer. And so what did they do? What is one thing that we remember that the children of Israel did that got the attention of God? Who said that? They cried. That's right. And God heard their cry. And how many of you know, when we cry out to God, does he not hear our cries as well?
Yeah.
Because he's the faithful God, was then and will always be. And they cried, and the Eternal heard their voice. He saw the affliction. He saw the sorrows, the oppression. And what did he do? He brought them forth. How did he bring forth the children of Israel? How did he get them out? Did he do it with a red carpet? Or how many of you remember the story? Yes, but there was something involved. How many know that the 10 plagues? Yes. So the 10 plagues is like the funnest part of the Seder. And I won't do it at this time, but we usually take our cup of wine and we actually dip it. If you're welcome to do it, Pastor, if you want. In fact, go ahead, let's do it. Okay. We're going to have fun. Okay, so you want to take that cup and take your pinky. This is what we usually do. And then what you're going to do every time I say one of the plagues, you take a dip and then put a dot right there, okay?
Oh, okay?
You should come out with 10 at the end. So everyone could repeat after me. So say dam, which means blood. So you do one. Sfardea. Very good. That means frogs. And then we do kanim, which means lice. And then we do arov. That's the swarm of flies. Then we do dever. That's the cattle disease. And then there's shechin. You guys are good. These are boils. And then we have barad. That's the hail. And then there's arbe, which is the locusts. And then the last was what? Choshech, which is darkness. Actually, that was second to the last. And this is the last one, the death of the firstborn. I remember that. The death of the firstborn. Do you have 10?
More than 10.
More than 10. It says do not add to the scriptures. Or okay, so he did great. And then we sing a song of just great jubilee that basically the sadness now turns to gladness because God has redeemed his people. And so we end up singing praises to God. One of the praises is Psalm 113. So whoever wants to read just a few verses from Psalm 113. This is like such a very abbreviated part, so I hope that you all are staying with me on this. Okay, great. So just a few verses from Psalm 113, maybe the first three. We actually do this in its entirety, but we'll read a few, so you get the idea.
You can read the whole thing if you want. It's not that long.
It's up to you.
Okay. Hallelujah. Give praise, servants of Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Let the name of Yahweh be praised, both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of Yahweh be praised. Yahweh is exalted above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like Yahweh our God, the one enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile in order to seat them with nobles, with the nobles of his people. He gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So then after that, we have the second cup of wine, which is the cup of recitation, because remember, we just ended up reciting all of the plagues, remember? So that would be the second cup of, you don't have to drink that one. After that, then we go back to the washing of the hands, because once we do that, then we are ready to eat a little piece of matzah. So go ahead and just grab a little piece of matzah, gentlemen, right there from there, and I'll just do the blessing, and then you could eat it. Just sure, break off a tiny piece. I got salted, by the way, for you guys, so. Because if it's not salted, it's really bad. So this is what we usually say. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And everyone goes, Amen. That says, Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from out of the earth. And so then at that point, we eat it. Okay, very good. Not too bad? Okay. And then after that, we come to a very... Not the happiest part, but it's part of the story. It's called bitter herbs. And I'm sorry, but you invited me. So you're going to take a piece of matzah, and then you're going to take from the middle part as much as you so dare.
And you
could dip a little bit if you want, but that little, show them the maror. That's called the bitter herbs. You scoop a piece because the bitter taste causes people to shed a little bit of a tear. And we remember the sorrow that our ancestors experienced thousands of years ago. And for those today, even those who suffer oppression or bitterness. So once you do that, then we say, Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to eat bitter herbs. So may the Lord be with you.
Amen. My wife is like, homing in on this.
And there's no water at the table, so. Yeah. 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 Okay.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff. So let's go to John chapter 13, verse 21. And we're going to kind of wrap it up here shortly. John chapter 13, 21 through 30.
When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, "I assure you, one of you will betray me." The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who it was he was talking about. So he leaned back against Jesus and asked him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus replied, "He's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it." When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Therefore, Jesus told him, "What you are doing, do quickly." None of those reclining at the table knew why he told him this. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night.
Interesting that if it was actually the Passover Seder, what would it have been? Matzah, right? And amazing that during this time that Jesus is going through this meal, this Seder, this whole story, that the betrayer would come forth during that conversation, and it would be during that time of the bitter herbs. Isn't that amazing? Because it was a bitter moment to be betrayed, the Son of Man, to be betrayed by the ones who proclaimed him to be, you know, Jesus. So I think that's very amazing that it would be during that time. Now we come to a time where we actually take, this is called a Hillel sandwich. So you have to take two pieces of matzah, okay? So everyone take two pieces of matzah. And then you're going to put some horseradish, but at the same time, some of the apple mixture, okay? So if you, hopefully none of you have nut allergies, because I don't want to get in trouble. And hopefully we have doctors in the house if that's the case. Yeah, see, everyone loves that stuff because you notice the generosity there. But you have to put a little bit of the horseradish as well because it's considered a bittersweet type of mixture. Okay, so. There you go. Do you see how interactive this is? And this is really the part that really keeps everyone zoned in during this whole time because you're experiencing the Passover as if you were there. He's got the spirit of boldness. Okay. So this is called the Hillel sandwich, which is both bitter and sweet. Okay? And this goes back to where it says, "We dip the bitter herbs into the sweetness." That's called the charoset. To remind ourselves that even in the most bitter of circumstances can be sweetened by the hope that we have in God. It says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger is just for a what? Moment. But his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for a night, but joy comes in the morning." So, go ahead. There's a sense that even through this, regardless of the bitterness that we're experiencing in life, if we have hope in God, we have something to look forward to because there's something sweet about knowing God. Is he doing okay? Okay.
I'm alive.
You're doing okay. All right. So once we usually do that, we usually eat the festive meal. So I don't know. Did you bring the steaks? That's next week. I'll be here. Thank you. I'm gonna wrap up with this because I think this is the part that I think would be very meaningful to remind us that there was, you know, after the meal, generally this is hidden, and the children are asked to go find what's called the afikomen. That's what this is called, and whoever gets it is to bring it to the rabbi, and the rabbi will give him something, and afterwards this is eaten per each table. Okay. But I want to talk about this, and then this will lead really beautifully, I believe, into the Lord's table. Besides the implications that people have come up with, why are there three matzah? Why do we take the middle? Why do we break it and then put one, and you know, wrapped up into a piece of linen cloth? There's a lot of things that really need that clarification. So in the middle piece, just as the middle piece of matzah, which is called the bread of affliction, is broken, so Jesus was afflicted and broken. And it's wrapped up in a white cloth, just as Messiah's body was wrapped up for burial. How many remember that?
Yep.
He was wrapped up for burial. And this afikoman is hidden just before the third cup, which is called the cup of redemption. So Messiah was also placed in a tomb and appeared after 3 days during what's called the Day of First Fruits. In the church world, there have been wars that have been fought over doctrinally about the differences concerning communion, debated for centuries. I'm not going to get into that. But the point is that Yeshua was not trying to invent a new ceremony when he gathered his disciples. Viewing the events through the Seder, like we're doing here, there's something that unlocks like this mystery, which is we are to perform the Seder as if we ourselves were there, and we are here right now. And that's the framework that Jesus was involved with. And we saw that the middle piece is broken, and traditionally it's identified with the Passover lamb, which is also the mediating priest. And Messiah strongly identifies with this. And this is what we really see, that Yeshua, Jesus. It's recorded that taking a piece of matzah, he made a blessing. He broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." He did the same thing with the cup after the meal. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, ratified by my blood, which is to be poured out for you." And that's this point when Jesus was with his disciples, with these words, he said, "This is my body." The Messiah finally reveals that what he chose not to explain a year before to John when he said this. He says, and this is from John chapter 6. He says, "I am the living bread. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give is my own flesh. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has" what? "Eternal life. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And this was not referencing cannibalism, as you know, but complete identification with him being the Passover lamb. He's basically saying, "I'm the Passover lamb. I've been broken for you." And this becomes so clear when you remember the words of John chapter 6, verse 4, which states, "Now the Judean festival of Passover was coming. This was the mystery context of this difficult words, which caused so many of his followers." How many remember this passage? They stopped following him after this. They thought he was crazy, but they didn't have understanding. At this last Seder, he finally disclosed to his disciples precisely what he had meant. Messiah used the Seder. He used all of these things that we're doing. And he did this to illustrate the confirmation of the plan and purpose of God, which was to present a sacrifice that would redeem all people to himself. So everything that we would experience during a Passover Seder, it's just absolutely like your pastor said, everything was pointing towards Jesus, that he was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He's the one that we are hoping and praying will what? Return and bring full restoration. And that's the hope of salvation that we have in him. So, again, I really thank you for this time. This is a very abbreviated version, you know, of the Passover Seder. But I really want to thank you, Pastor, and I hope that that's kind of close enough for you to now take over and lead people in the communion. So may the Lord bless all of you. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
This time, we're going to have an invitation. I mean, we've listened to Old Testament ceremonies pointing towards Christ. Christ. And the whole point of the whole thing is about God wanting to restore relationship between sinful man and holy God. And the only way he could do it was through Jesus Christ. And every one of us, as Robert pointed out, we were all in slavery at one time. We were a slave to sin. And Christ came to set us free. And there may be someone here today that has never gotten that freedom, has never asked for forgiveness, never admitted to the Lord, the God, the creator of the universe, that they're a sinner and that they fall short and that they need Jesus Christ. It really comes down to every single person has to do something with Jesus Christ. You're either going to reject him or accept him for what he did and who he is. And so this is part of the invitation. We are also about to have the Lord's Supper. And the Bible warns us not to take the Lord's Supper lightly, that we need to have things clear between us and the Lord. And we need to take it seriously. And so while Kathy plays, if you can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I've never made it right with God. I've never asked him to save me, never asked him to forgive me, never trusted in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on behalf of mankind, the whole of mankind, as well as the individual, which would be you. Anybody like that? Anybody, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up? Never, as far as I know, than everyone here has. So the remainder of this invitation is for us. Has God brought anything to your mind that needs to be reconciled, that needs to be taken care of? This is the time. This is your time. Use it wisely. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and how it points to you in every way. Lord God, we thank you for the words of Robert and the illustration that your word shows us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to commemorate your death, burial, and resurrection through this simple ceremony, Lord, that just speaks of you, your love for us, and what you did on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Rabbi, would you pray for our body, and then you'll close us. In your language.
Sure. It would be a privilege. It says in the book of Numbers, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, and tell them that this is how you should bless the people of Israel, in this case, this church that God has established. As we say, Yivarecha Adonai vayishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vechunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha vayisem lecha shalom, which means, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and show you his favor. May the Lord lift up his face toward you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.